Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
At the men's conference yesterday, I was speaking down in New Liskeard, and I was talking on the subject of change and how that has become an issue in my life. I'd have to say, along with my wife. My wife is not the issue. Well, not to the same extent. Change is the issue. And one of the points that I was making on the slides that I tried to make as a part of the message was as we get older, and I know there's no one quite as old as me here, but that it's hard to learn things. And yeah, sure. Anything that's going to stall for time. Because this isn't the presentation we're supposed to be getting. And so yesterday, as we were talking about change, I making the point that it's getting harder to learn things. And then I actually said that, you know what? I'm actually finding it's harder to unlearn things. And my example was that all my family, all my kids are all Mac. And all the guys at MSC are all Mac. And so I have this very old PC that I've loved over many years. But I decided I had to change, so I bought a Mac. MacBook Pro, very nice. I've spent about 2 or 3 hours on it. It's given me about 2 heart attacks. And I think I'm in danger of a stroke. In any case, everybody said Mac is intuitive. It's so easy to learn. And it just proved to me that there's one thing harder than learning at my age. It's unlearning at my age. And the Mac doesn't work like my PC. If it did, I'd be using it tonight. I think we might have, I'm just going to, it's rebooted for me. One of the reasons I went to Mac was because PCs forced Windows 10 upon us, and Windows 10 force updates on you, and believe it or not, when I booted this up tonight, it was in the middle of an update. But it is opening up now, and if I can get this one, guys, this will be preferable. So I should just launch into my change message. I'm here to share some things with you about MSC Canada. And MSC is often a mission organization that people have heard about, maybe they know little bits about, have had some level of contact with, maybe none at all. But a lot of folks don't really understand it. And so I'm hoping that if we get our laptop working here. Oh, it's got my desktop at least. We're moving. Yeah. So I'll let you know what's on the back table, and you're welcome to take some of those things. This isn't the Oprah show. But I'm not sure I have one for everyone that's in the audience. But if you'd like a purple MSC pen, very trendy, I'm told. I'm feeling secure enough to carry around a purple pen. If you would like a MSC pen on the back tables there, you can feel free to take one of those. The most important thing that's back there on the table is actually our missionary prayer handbook, 2018. We have a number of copies available. I have more in the car if you need them. And Matt Robertson also has a good supply of them. This missionary prayer handbook, we publish this, MSC Canada does, in concert with our American counterpart, Christian Missions in Many Lands. And between CMML and MSC, We list about 700 missionaries working in 70 countries around the world. Now, we don't hear much about MSC Canada, probably even less about CMML, and that's because we exist to serve assemblies like this, and the missionaries you decide to send yourselves. We don't recruit missionaries. We don't put missionaries through training. We don't assess their call. We don't commend them. We don't send them. We don't supervise them when they get to the field. We are not their go-to people. That's not how MSC works. And when this gets working, I'm going to explain it with graphics and pictures and everything. We believe in that in local church-driven missions. And so we believe the local church should be the sending agency of their missionaries. And so a lot of people, it's just local churches like this sending their missionaries, and all the action, interaction, most of it happens between the missionaries and the local church, whichever one it might happen to be. There's about 400 churches like this, assemblies like this across Canada, and we actually service churches and their missionaries outside of the assemblies and outside of what's known as brethren churches. Not many, but some more and more are finding us because they like the way we do missions. They read their Bibles. They think the way that they should be doing missions is something simpler, something more like the New Testament model, and so they're finding us. And so we aren't out there recruiting, and we aren't out there fundraising. There's two tracks that MSC runs on. One is local church-driven missions, and the other is committed to God's supply. So if you're not out there recruiting missionaries, and if you're not out there fundraising, you don't have a very big profile. But we're here tonight because we want to explain, despite those facts, we still need to know what's happening in missions. And so together with CMML, we have one of the largest constituency of missionaries working in more countries around the world almost than any other mission organization. How come we haven't heard of this before? When it comes, when it comes to our most fundamental service to our missionaries, that's not looking good. When it comes to our most fundamental service to missionaries, it's receiving funds, receiving those funds to the donor, and then forwarding those funds to the missionaries on the field. One of the things that makes us unique is that 100% of the funds that we receive, that we receipt to the donor, whether it's a local church or whether it's individual believers, whoever sends that in for whatever missionary, 100% of it goes to those missionaries. We believe in that faith principle. We believe in faith missions. We believe we are committed to God's supply. And that's what we say to our missionaries. We believe that if God has called you, and that call has been confirmed by those who know you, who have a care for you, your elders, your home church, if they're confirming that call, they believe together with you, in concert with you, that this is indeed God's call upon your life, and there's ways that we can discern that, there's ways that we can know it to the extent that we're going to take a step of faith. People that send funds to us, we trust the Lord. We don't take anything off the missionaries and the funds that they send to us. 100% of it goes to those missionaries. I'm going to try this one more time. I'm sorry about that, folks. Okay. And but just in this, the funds that we receive in a year, this past year, the Lord entrusted us with around $13 million from 400 assemblies like this and individuals who are part of that constituency. This assembly is probably one of the, probably above average in number. A lot of them are a lot smaller. And somehow, without all the notoriety and all the promotion and all the information and all that, God is making this work. And so that's $13 million last year, this year, and the number of missionaries being commended is going up every year, and the amount of support that the Lord's people are providing is going up every year. That $13 million, to give you some context, means that MSC Canada handles, we're in the top 1% of all charities in Canada, the amount of funds that we handle. Now, there's a lot of charities in Canada. But when it comes to Christian charities, we're in the top 0.1 of 1% in the funds that we receive and then channel through to the Lord's work. And so that's sort of the 30,000-foot view of what's happening. And so you folks are going to are in the process of commending a couple, a family, to go to Belize, and that's going to be sort of the tree that you're looking at in the midst of the forest. But to give you the bigger picture, it's not just you and them. There's a missionary movement that is of churches and folks like them who are taking that step of faith together and going. In North America, 800 assemblies in the United States, about 400 in Canada. That's about 700 missionaries in about 70 countries around the world. And so I think you should be encouraged. Fellas, we're going to go back to that other slide presentation, and I'll make do. I'm not even sure what it is anymore. It's an old one that was on my memory stick. I thought I had this one on the memory stick. So if you would like, this missionary handbook lists all those folks. It lists the continents. They're listed by continents, and then alphabetically the countries in those on those continents, and then alphabetically the missionaries in each of those countries, and it explains who the missionaries are, how you can make contact with them. It explains if they have children, what the ages of their children. At the back are actual birthdays of the children, not of the adults. We've got too much protest. Missionaries, there's some of them that are very vain, and they didn't want people to know how old they were. But the children's birthdays are all there. And could I encourage you, just something simple, like a birthday card to a child that is away from home, away from family, away from friends, away from their home church, away from things that are familiar. Just to know someone's thinking about them, even though they've never met them before in their lives. I can tell you, my children all grew up on the mission field, and those things were huge. Those things were huge. And remember to pray for the missionary children. When we're talking about people who are called of God to go, that's the parents. The children are just children, and they've got to go. For us as adults who are called of God and we believe that that's God's call upon our life, it's kind of exciting to take steps of faith. But the children that have to be dragged along, not always easy. And they're the ones very often who are meeting the people where they are most up close and personal. Children going to school and high school and trying to fit in and have peers while they're learning a language, and it could be in a country where they stick out like a sore thumb. So pray for missionary kids. And so that's all in here. That information is all in here. The major ministries in which they're involved. And so I'd really recommend that to you. And MSC Canada has a little bit of a supplement that goes with that. If you'd like those, they're $5, and you can just leave it there. If you're going to use that, and this is broken up into 31 days a month, So you can use it to pray through the prayer guide every month of the year. And if you're going to use that for that purposes, you feel free just to take one if you don't have that $5. There's also a newsletter that we have, Inside MSC, and there's different copies of that explaining different parts of our organization, how the Lord miraculously provides, how we are making connections. It's Missions and Service Connections now, MSC, and it's all about connecting. It's about connecting missionaries with their local churches, the missionaries in local churches with the foreign field. It's about MSC connecting with them. There's all kinds of connections, connecting missionaries back to the constituency of churches across Canada when they write articles and they're published in the Missions Magazine and things like that. There's also one on Acts, the container ministry that goes on out of Markham and also out of Portage la Prairie, Manitoba, and receiving all kinds of goods and then packing those into 40-foot containers and then shipping them overseas. So those kind of things are available to you at the back, as well as a general MSC brochure that explains it all. And so I'll leave those things there. And we're going to see if this very good. Okay, so something works. This must have been a presentation for people who knew us. In any case, myself and my wife, we left Winnipeg, Canada, go Jets. And actually, this has got feeding me the link right now. I'm listening to it. But no, I'm trying not to be distracted. Tony Martin said you guys are all Montreal Canadian fans and you'd be rooting for the Winnipeg Jets over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Is that right? That's what Tony said. Sorry. My kids always say squirrel because I go off in different directions. People with kids know the comment. Anyways, so we were commended and sent, and we went to the Republic of Ireland in 1984. So we've been working and being served by MSC for a very long time, working alongside and being served by MSC. And we went on a short term. We went to help the missionaries, not to be missionaries. We went to do practical work project. And we just took a year off. I was involved in a family furniture business. And we believed this was something God wanted us to do. Our elders were willing to pray with us. And we believe it was God's call on our lives. My three brothers are all believers. They were willing to let me go and leave. Actually, they were pushing me out the door, is what they were doing. I was the oldest, so they were used to being told what to do, and now they had freedom. But we went to Ireland for a year, and we constantly reminded the missionaries that we were only there to do practical work. We were there, we were forming concrete, we were building some cabinets, there was a reconstruction going on, and that's what we were there to do, and they regularly tried to put us under pressure to do missionary work. And we assured them we are not those people. If the request was for people to come and do Bible studies and do preaching and teaching and things like that, I wouldn't even have paid attention to the presentation that I heard on a Monday night at our chapel. We were there to do that. But halfway through the year, in January of 1985, the weather was terrible, and we couldn't really do very much construction work. And so some things had happened to loosen me up to trust the Lord a little bit more. And they asked me again, would I be willing to go and do some door-to-door work? I said, okay, but on one condition. I want to go on my own. Now, they did not understand that. Everybody that does door-to-door work, and especially for the first time, wants someone to go with them, and hopefully someone that's going to do all the talking. And It wasn't that I was confident. It was exactly the opposite. My condition was because I knew how badly this was going to go. I knew what I didn't know. And I knew that when that person opened up the door and I did or said whatever I would do or say, however badly it went, I would never see those people again in my life. Just wouldn't. I didn't want someone coming back with me who had heard all the stupid stuff I might have said. I'm serious. I understood myself. And so they let me. And only two doors opened to me that first morning. The one was the second door I knocked, a woman named Teresa Murphy. Can you imagine? In Ireland. Teresa Murphy opened the door. I said the things that I'd planned to say as an opener. And we got chatting. Ireland's a good place to chat with people. And we got chatting. She soon invited me in for a cup of tea. Her husband was in the kitchen. I was there for about an hour, hour and a half. And I'm literally thinking, if I can extend this to more cups of tea, I won't have to knock any more doors. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist. Those of us who are not, like a guy like Tim Hood or Gary Weeks, or like those guys, they'd be bothered by having a cup of tea. What are you having a cup of tea for? You're wasting time. That was my whole point. In any case, within those next months, Teresa got saved. Two oldest daughters got saved. We continued on, and about a year later, Liam got saved. The next door I went to that opened the door, there was numbers that I knocked that weren't there, a guy opens the door. He's a Filipino guy, and in those days in Ireland, there's no work. Nobody emigrates to Ireland. Irish people go everywhere else in the world. To see a Filipino guy was very unusual. But I said my thing, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm going door to door, I'm seeing if people have Bibles, if they have Bibles, if they're reading their Bibles, if you're reading your Bible, are you understanding your Bible? If you're not understanding, you know, maybe I could help you with that. If you don't have a Bible, I have a Bible here I'd like to give you. And, you know, so you start that way. And he interrupted me. He said, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I was praying this morning that God would send a Christian to my door." That's the second door. And he invites me in for a cup of tea, so I'm going. And so he takes me in for a cup of tea. And I go in, and on his coffee table, his Bible is open. His name is Louis Horka. And he tells me his story, that he had only arrived in Dublin 2 or 3 weeks earlier, He had been raised in London. He had done some crimes, ended up in Wandsworth Prison. While he was in Wandsworth Prison doing time, his mother met and married an Irish guy, and they moved to Dublin, to Ballybrack, where I was doing doors. He got saved in prison, Wandsworth Prison. And when he came out, he had nowhere to go except to his mother in Ballybrack in County Dublin. He said from the time he got there, every morning as he's been doing his reading, he was praying that God would send a Christian to his door. He said, "They all think they're Christians, but they're not." So this is not the presentation we had planned. The reason I'm sorry about that, Matt, I'm supposed to be doing a presentation that he could continue to do as an MSC rep in the future. You can't do any of this. But at least it wouldn't be sincere, I don't think. If we are willing to take steps of faith for God, whoever we are, we hear this, the phrase is used, the saying is used, God wants availability, or God uses availability over ability every single time. I'm telling you, that's the actual fact. I had no idea that I'd be doing this. And no one else would have thought I'd be doing this 34 years ago now, since that date. We didn't go back. We came back to sell all our stuff, but we we decided to take another step of faith. And as long as the Lord would provide, we would continue to do the work. I had two conditions for the missionaries in Ireland that asked us to stay on. I said, one, I don't want to do any more building work. I'm not against sweating. But I want to do what I've started to do now. This, I can go home and work. If I'm going to work, I'll go home. But this was something I had never experienced in my life. I had led a few children to the Lord at camp. When I came back to the Lord, it was 19, 20 years old. I had never led an adult to the Lord. I had never done a Bible study with anybody. And all of a sudden, and the people that we met and that were getting saved, I tried to say, you know, there's missionaries here that'll come and do a Bible study with you. And they wanted me to do the Bible study with them. And so I was like what I had learned about an hour earlier, I was teaching them about an hour later. That's how I was kind of working. When I was at a conference, a workers and elders conference in British Columbia in 2003, the other two brothers that were speaking at this conference was a guy named Jack Spender and a brother named Jabe Nicholson. I was the very thin slice of lettuce between the meat, between the meat and the big slices of bread, I can tell you that. And there was one afternoon they had a panel discussion, and they actually had me between these two guys, like, anyways. And so somebody asked the question, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was kind of like, how did you get from where you were to here? You know, to maybe leading a few seminars and whatever. And I started to answer, and Jabe Nicholson cut across me. Jabe had been coming with his family to Manitoba to our camp, Faith Bible Camp, which Northlands, this is one of those squirrel moments, which Northlands was patterned after. Our camp started in 1954. Chester Donaldson was a good friend of Jerry Thomas, who started our camp. Chester Donaldson came, I think, two summers in a row in the middle to late 50s. And I think he came back here and started Northlands. And so I know from talking to people who go to Northlands, there's a lot of things that are sort of Faith Bible Camp traditions or the way we go about things that you guys do here. It's very interesting. In any case, so Jabe had been coming out with his father, who was a speaker, for 3 weeks every summer. And so he knew a lot of people there. And when he started to go into full-time ministry and he was preaching and teaching and getting his feet wet in that, he came out to Winnipeg a lot because people liked him and they knew him and they were willing to give him an opportunity. In any case, Jabe lays that foundation. Then he says, having cut across me to answer the question of how did I get from there to here? And he told people how well he knew the situation in Winnipeg. He knew all the people in Winnipeg. And he said, I'm telling you that Ron Hampton was the least likely person to be doing what he's doing today. That's true. And everybody laughed. He wasn't laughing. He wasn't kidding. He wanted to make a point. And so it's the point I want to make to you tonight. And I'm not just talking about the 18 to 24-year-olds, you know. I'm talking about married couples, 27 as we were, 28. I'm talking about people maybe in early retirement or have that prospect. Whoever it is, if you believe that God might be wanting you to take a step of faith, whether it's here at home, establishing a new ministry, doing something else, or possibly going overseas, whether it's short-term, extended-term, or long-term, pray about it. Ask your elders to pray with you about it. God wants us to know. He doesn't want us to be in confusion. The only people that I've talked to, which is loads over the years, I think, who are confused, the reason is because they're holding back. If God knows our hearts, Sometimes we don't even know our hearts. That's what the Word of God says. God knows our hearts. If we're holding back, if we're just looking for God's opinion on the matter, if we just like to know what he thinks so we can put it alongside what we think and what somebody else thinks, and then we'll weigh it all up, it doesn't work like that. God doesn't work like that. But if we're willing, he will make it clear to us, those who would commend us, and together we take a step of faith and go out into all the world, and it's fantastic. Not easy. I counted a privilege this past week. I spoke to someone, and I said, it was James and Chantel Edwards. I said, when you get to the mission field, you won't be getting confused about what your purpose is today. Every day you wake up somewhere else in some other country, some other culture. Every day we have the privilege of knowing what we're supposed to be doing that day. And I know we do here. You have a job, you know that. You have a family, you know that. I'm just, sometimes in familiar surroundings and that, we can sort of get those things out of sync, So that's our family. My wife in the middle, that was last May, she retired so that we could get more involved in missions. And we're involved in a new assembly, Kildonan Christian Fellowship, started about 2 years ago. And in the northeast corner of Winnipeg, a bunch of 30-somethings wanted to start this assembly in the area where they lived. They wanted to be more effective in reaching out to neighbors, the children that they're the parents of the children their kids go to school with, on the hockey teams, etc. And so they approached us to do that, and we started out with the group up above, and we have about 70 or 80 today. The Lord is blessing that, and it's called Kildonan. And I told them, even though the area of the city is East Kildonan, North Kildonan, West Kildonan, Old Kildonan, I said, do not do Kildonan Christian Fellowship. Yeah. I said, people will abbreviate it, and they will never get it right. And so one of the guys that's in leadership, part of the leadership team, is a high school teacher. He had his graphics people put that together. They're 30. I told them they would not listen. Imagine that. Like, I have the gray hair. They're supposed to be listening to me. That bubble got burst a long time ago. But the reason I'm leaving this up here, it is funny. It was funny. The reason I'm leaving it up here, we were crossing mountains in Croatia in February. It's on the timer. Something else. Okay. And I saw a KFC sign. And it made me think of the assembly. And so now, every time you see that image, not that exact image, but one like it, think about Kildonan Christian Fellowship in Winnipeg. So that's us. We start with breakfast. It's kind of it was a 30-something idea. And I was skeptical. I told some of them that had been in the assembly where I was an elder before we started this, you guys can't get there at 9:30, never mind at 9:15. And it's not true. It did happen. And the kids are pushing the parents out the doors on Sunday mornings so they can go have breakfast with their friends and then have some time to play. When we start at 10 o'clock, there's nobody late. We start into our open worship and communion time. In any case, so younger people know some things. So we meet in a school. MSC, Mission and Service. I don't know the next slide that's coming up. So MSC, Mission and Service Connections, since 1940, local church-driven missions committed to God's supply. It's a simple model that we use. It's the New Testament model. It's based on Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 4. People say that, you know, you're making a lot of one example, and we would say that it's the only example that is given. And it works, and it involves the principles that we have in the New Testament concerning the church. A distinct method without expert support and without fundraising. Two things that are new to the mission world over the last 10, 15 years. It's become acute now over the last 5 years. One is access, getting access into countries. Most of the countries that you see there in the 1040 window, they are restricted access countries. We dropped the term missionary out of our title, Missionary Service Committee, 25 years ago. It's now MSC Canada, Mission and Service Connections. And the reason is missionary, the term missionary, the idea of missionary is counterproductive. That brings the shutters down. That doesn't open up any doors. And so that has to do with access. But those countries are open. But it's creative access. And so if you are working in the medical, if you are a professional working in the medical field, if you're working in the educational system, teaching English as a second language, if you want to go to China, the largest population in the world, you can get into China. They want you to come. And if you're a Christian teaching English as a second language, it's even easier for you to get in. They want Christians because they're moral. They're not going to bring in the immorality of the West. Medical, educational, commercial. If you're an entrepreneur and you have some funds and you would like to go and set up a business in one of these countries and you lay out a business plan and you're going to employ nationals and you're going to create income within that country, even if you're exporting it, and there's all kinds of examples. We've got folks in the Missionary Prayer Handbook. If you look at what they're doing, they tell you what they're doing, and it's very interesting. A couple from Vancouver, Alan and Colleen Bussard, they're living in Slovakia for the past 30-some years, almost 40 years, and they've got companies going in more than a few different countries in Africa. And they've now got the Slovakian government partnering with them to establish, to help them sponsor these businesses in these African countries. Fair trade coffee companies and introducing soybeans to, there's other things than that. There's mechanical devices, IT devices. There's all kinds of companies that are being started, and that's the way people are getting in. We had a team, an E-team in Ghana, in Kumasi, second largest city in Ghana, not Accra, it's Kumasi, 1.5 million. We had a team there for the past 2.5 weeks doing evangelism with an assembly called the Believer's Bible Assembly. That assembly has been around about 15, 16 years, and it was a guy from Calgary, from Good News Bible Chapel, who was on a contract to the oil industry in Ghana. While he was there, he could not find a church. And so he just started meeting him and his wife in their apartment. They met a young Christian eventually on the street named Joseph Frimpong. I don't know if Joseph has ever been here. He's now serving the Lord full-time, and his wife from Shore Acres Bible Chapel in Burlington. And they started an assembly. 15 years later, there's an assembly going with all Ghanaian elders, and they're hosting our teams to come and help them with evangelism. He was an oil guy. He's not an evangelist. He's not a church planter. So access. The other is security. We were sharing with some of the folks a little earlier that next to the illicit drug trade, the next most effective means of raising cash on the part of criminals is kidnapping Westerners. And if it's the children of Westerners, it's even better. And our missionaries, a lot of them are living with that conscious possibility every day. We had a conference for missionary at Guelph Conference Grounds about a year and a half ago, and about 100 of our missionaries came back, and we had all kinds of sessions. It was for them, it was not about them. And some of those were on security. And one of the sisters actually commended from a gospel hall, I think south of Bancroft, somewhere, I don't know Ontario all that great, but And she was sharing that whenever her kids want to go outside their house to play, she has to stop what she's doing. She has to go out and watch. Watch up the road that way, watch up the road that way for strange cars, strange people, all that kind of stuff. Mexico and the Philippines are the worst, but there's all kinds that are very close seconds. And so MSC, it's another service that we have had to, we are now providing. We retain an expert international company, security company that negotiates, deals with kidnappings, negotiates ransoms, all those kind of things. We don't do that. It's a very specialized thing. But we have to make calls to them. And one of the things that we can provide is immediate, and despite what the TVs say and the politicians say, you almost always pay the ransom, you know, because these people are people. And the fact is that most often the people grabbing them, they're not terrorists and they're not political ideologists or any of those kind of things. They just want cash. And the quicker they can get the cash, and the more they can get, and so it's a negotiation. Who would have thought? The brothers that started MSC Canada in 1940, 78 years ago, just because Canada shut down people from putting cash in envelopes and sending it overseas because of the Second World War. They didn't want money falling into the enemy hands. So they formed a committee to comply with how the government was saying we had to now assure that the money, where it was going and who was going to get it and all that kind of stuff. That's all they did. And today, there's all kinds of services that we are providing as a ministry of the assemblies across Canada for the sake of our missionaries. So that local churches like this, who don't have all that expertise, so that you can commend and send and stay involved and pray for and support and provide spiritual oversight, ministry direction, all that for your folks, for your ministry. So just to give a bit of insight. Sorry, Matt, you weren't in the picture when I did this slide. I have a fresh slide. It has Matt's face on it. There's a cert where it says that. See there where that little symbol is? We were praying about getting a regional rep for Northern Ontario. So that's in the slide that I have now, is right there. We now have a brother, Cloutier, here in the province of Quebec. We're still looking for someone in Southern Ontario. People need to know. People need to know all this good, and because it's encouraging, it's uplifting, and it's making a difference. This is a new ministry, a brand new ministry, another service that MSC has initiated that we're offering. My wife has retired, as I said, and the word tire is the idea, you know, like there's four of them on your car. And so think about retiring in that context. You know, it's putting a new set and getting going again, right? And so we are working along with Phil and Marilyn Barnes. Phil is the executive director of MSC, known to a lot of folks up here. And another couple, Conrad and Becky LaKeld from Edmonton. And those three couples are providing worker care for about 250 missionaries in about 40 countries around the world. And so we are simply trying to go to the field and to make contact, encourage relationships, to provide support and encouragement, not to go over there and problem solve, not to get involved in their ministry and all that kind of stuff, but just to be there for them. We're finding missions across the board. About 40% of all missionaries that go out full-time return after 4 to 5 years, never to go back. That's a high attrition rate. And it's not quite that way for our missionaries, but it's trending that way. It's because, for whatever reason, stuff happens. They're the same as we are. And they're facing all the same things, whether it's personally and the rise of anxiety issues in our society. we can say, well, it shouldn't be that way, and if they would only do this. The fact is, it is what it is. And it's a product of our culture and a product of a lot of things, even amongst churches. And so they're just, and whether it's an individual, maybe depression, maybe it's a married couple, a family, those children struggling, and parents struggling between this call that God's put on their life and this children that nothing's more important than the kids. And I'm working with a family in Italy right now, and they've had terrible, terrible input. People telling them that they just need to press on, that they've put their hand to the plow. They shouldn't be looking back. The idea of maybe returning home for the sake of their kids. And seriously, in the Bible that I read, missionaries no different than elders. If we don't manage our own family well, I think I'm not sure what ministry we really have at the end of the day. But we need to help people where they are. Not wait until they come home. If it takes $60,000 Canadian dollars and we don't tell missionaries what they need, the Lord knows what they need. You need to be talking about that. You need to be investigating that. You need to have some sort of idea about that. But we don't ask people to fundraise to a certain amount. But say it costs $60,000 Canadian dollars to keep a family on the field for 1 year. After 4 years, do the math. That's a big investment. And quite frankly, most of our people aren't missionaries when they leave. We call them missionaries or mission workers today. No more than a young lady that starts university on the first day is called teacher or nurse. No, it takes 4 or 5 years, right? Or a guy straps on a belt on a job site the first day, hasn't even got calluses on his hands, and we call him a carpenter or a plumber or electrician. He's not. He's headed that way. And in 4 or 5 years, he will be. Well, there's a parallel that a lot of our folks are learning as they go. And in 4 or 5 years, about the time when they should be getting their papers, when they do have that degree, if they were in other realms, because of all the things, the hard things that they've dealt with, personally, family-wise, with the national church, just in cross-cultural issues that are too much, can't figure their way out, they come home. And they went out with fanfare. Everybody knows they went out, and now they're coming home. And why are you coming home? And most of them can't say, well, we believe God is calling us home. There's other stuff. So, for the sake of the Lord's work, we have made this commitment. We need to go there, and we need to be interacting. And it'll be by email, it'll be by Skype. We've set a commitment that once every 5 years, we will visit every one of our MSC-listed missionaries in their where they are personally. And we are encouraging the assemblies that commend their missionaries to do the same thing. And to make that visit purposeful, we have a list, a checklist of things you definitely want to make, carve out time. Don't go there to get a free holiday off the missionaries. Don't go there to get a tour of the country that they live in. Going there to minister to them and to find out where they're at personally, as a family, as a couple, in what God has called them to do. So that's worker care. We've been doing courses and things like that, not to be psychologists or anything like that. Most people would say, I'm the one that needs the help. But the reality is our folks need help. And so this is our area of responsibility in the real slides. We had an opportunity to visit 16 of our MSC missionaries, couples, in 12 different countries across Europe in January and February. So we've made a start on that. I'm also involved with E-teams, which are short-term cross-cultural evangelism teams. There's some posters outside. We are working to enable and equip Christians to effectively cross cultures, encourage the national church, and evangelize in English. And so we only take our short-term evangelism teams because we want to teach people evangelism, train people in evangelism, and the only way to do it effectively is them doing it and working alongside them. And so the only way to be effective in evangelism, the reason I keep turning around because I'm not sure if you're looking at the right slide, is to have the language. And so we go to countries where the population understands English. We only go to places where there's resident missionaries or a national assembly that we're going to, national church that we're going to work with. That's a bit of the model. And so we took two teams to Belize last year, and I believe there's folks from here that have been to Belize with Sean and Vera. You can go to our Facebook page. Actually, this is the Belize team in November, but if you go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/eteams, the team in Ghana is just leaving today. If you want to read a lot of exciting stuff and see great pictures, get real insight into not only a country, but the believers that are in that country, facebook.com/eteams. I'd really encourage you to do that. This was back when I was letting people know and asking if they would pray about getting involved, and the team's coming home today. They're arriving home at their various places today. We do have a team next month going to the Republic of Ireland, and so if that would be of interest to you, please talk to me or go to the website, eteams.ca. Again, involved, there it is. That's the website, eteams.ca. Sorry. I think that's a different thing. So, I'm trying to think through the things that... are there questions on MSC? There were things that I didn't share tonight because the slides didn't prompt me. Yeah.
I know that it happened last year. How often does this happen? Where missionaries actually kidnapped members of the family, kidnapped and ransomed in Russia?
Well, it's happening, I think, with some regularity if we're talking, you know, evangelical mission and mission boards and mission societies. For MSC, I think that was the first one that we, I think it's the first one that we engaged personally. The folks in Australian Missionary Tidings, we have some of our sister organizations that have faced it. We're expecting that it's going to be coming up more often. We're questioning whether we shouldn't have, I think what they call kidnap insurance, pay a premium and have that. I don't think that decision has been made. Yeah. No, that's this.
That's what I thought about.
Yeah. We just changed the name. Actually, we started to get our stuff opened after 9/11 when we sent orientation materials and things to people that were coming on the teams, and the return address up in the corner was TNT Teams. People were getting, sometimes they were getting an envelope with nothing in it. Sometimes some things were missing. And so we just changed it to E-teams, which has to do with enabling and equipping people to do evangelism in English and all those E's. Very inventive.
My second part of that question, could you say something to encourage the young people to go on one of those teams? Maybe just a little pep talk?
Sounds like you have something in mind. Well, what it says up there is a fact, and it's not a slogan, It's what we have seen. Short-term missions produce long-term results. And there's loads of folks that are in our missionary prayer handbook. In fact, I would judge that for those that have been sent out since 1960, and there's almost nobody that is older than that. I think Daisy Hannah passed away, and Marion Ronald is now in very tough shape. There's not many missionaries that were 1960. But I'm telling you that since that time, and they're in our prayer handbook, probably three quarters have been on a short-term mission. And so today it seems like it's becoming very, not a necessary step, but it can be a very important step. We have, again, just with E-Teams, we have a number of people that are now serving the Lord full-time. There's people, obviously, that get saved. Sometimes it's while the team is there. That has happened this last few weeks in Ghana. Most often in the follow-up. That's why we only put teams in places where there's resident missionaries or a national assembly that already exists, because that's where it happens. Again, people come back with a fresh vision. I was talking to the folks that there were some of the young people at New Liskeard today that might be thinking and praying about the possibility of coming, and especially a group of them coming. And when one person leaves and comes back, there's blessing. And it's good to hear the report and that. But when a group go, and then they come back to the same place, they come back thinking through all that they've observed, all that they've experienced, all that they've learned, and they're coming back with ideas of what they could do as a group together wherever they've come from. So, I don't know. I don't know what I can say, except that as a principle of life, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we're not taking steps of faith, and I'm not saying every step of faith leads us down a trail that ends up in some other country, I think the proportion isn't right. We've got 10% of the world's Christians witnessing to 90% of the world's non-Christians. And about 90% of the world's Christians are in places where we're actually witnessing to about 10% of the world's non-Christians. So there's something out of sync there. It's the same with men and women. There's 2/3 of the missionaries are women. Well, I think about 50% of the people in the world are men. That's not quite, I don't think, the proportion that it should be. So some people are being called of God, and they're not taking the step of faith. That's a negative way of looking at it. The way to look at it is, if you believe that God is calling you to do something, if you sense it, pray about it. If you come to believe it, and it involves somebody more than yourself, your wife, your home church, then you need to talk to them and you need to be praying with them. But if you believe God's calling you to take a step of faith, you'll never be certain until you take it. And if you're willing to take that step of faith, you can trust God, even though you don't know where it's going to lead, how it's going to go. He's not only going to bless you, He's going to make you a blessing. And we know that from our own lives, when we witness to people at school, when we witness to people in the workplace. No doubt there's all kinds of people in this church that were witnessed. They're here, and they'll be in heaven because someone took a step of faith which caused them to overcome their feeling of inadequacies, not knowing the right verses, not knowing the answers to all the questions. They're going to take a step of faith and say something. And there's people here that are saved and in fellowship in this assembly and raising families where the kids are growing up in church and all that. Never would have been the case if someone didn't take a step of faith. So that's the payoff. The payoff is blessing God and we cannot out-bless God. God will always bless us in return. And so, that's it. We've gone over. Sorry it didn't quite work out the way that it was. Sorry you had to put up with some rambling. But we're going to trust the Lord for it. I said to the guys up in the booth there, God is sovereign. All things work together for good. To them that love Him, there's conditions. To them that love Him, and to those who are the called according to His purpose. There you go. Well, that was basically the story. And then he moved back to London about a year later. But he was a chef. And so one of the first things we did, once I found that out, there was an Indian evangelist. He was supposed to be the Billy Graham of India that was coming to Ireland. And so we made a contact with this guy and put on an Asian banquet. This chef from the Philippines, and we put on an Asian banquet. But there, yeah, that was, I don't, I'm not even sure where in the world Louis is, if he's here or at home in heaven. That's a long time ago, when the earth was green and there were more little animals than you'd ever seen. That's another one of those squirrel moments, right? Great. Father, we just thank You that, and I know that there's, we're all here tonight with a purpose. You've placed that on our lives. A purpose in the place where we are, a purpose in the church that we are, in the workplace, in the school, in the community. Father, just find us faithful. And find us faithful to be the witnesses that the Lord Jesus called us to be in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You are a good God. We are so thankful that You so loved the world that You sent the Lord Jesus Christ to stand in our place, to suffer the judgment and the punishment that we deserved for sin, for every sin. And it was all put on Him. We can't imagine. But He did it. This man offered Himself a sacrifice for us and forever. And we thank You for Him. We thank You for our Savior. Help us to really be gripped day by day at the good of the gospel, what it's meant to us, what it's meant to our families. Father, help us be witnesses of that gospel to others. We commend ourselves to You. We commend this assembly to You. We pray for the Waltons who are taking this step of faith later this year. We thank You that we can entrust all this to You. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.